Blog Talk Radio.
Quite a while. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, but you know what? Even though I didn't intend to kick it off, tonight somebody handed me a Powerball ticket. I didn't buy it. They bought it for me. And it's unbelievable. They're $2 now. They used to be $1. The jackpot of this Powerball is over $500 million. Utterly astounding. Maybe the government should buy a few tickets, pay off some of the deficit. $500 million. They say if you take the lump sum, it's $347 million. Would be your payout. What would you do with the Powerball jackpot? Not that it's ever going to happen to me, but I guess you got to buy a ticket. What am I going to do with the $2? You know, put it in the bank at 5%. Excuse me. I got a big yawn stuck in there. But what we are going to talk about on Norm at Night, I hit it a little bit, is the fiscal cliff. What are we going to do about the fiscal cliff and the whole lame duck session? The elective turned out to be a little bit more decisive than anyone thought. Even the popular vote, it's now official, kind of ironic. Governor Romney polled 47% of the vote. President Obama, 52%. And I guess the other percentage went to the raft of small party candidates and third and fourth party candidates. So Obama won big time. The Democrats increased their hold of the Senate. and the Democrats increased the number of people they had in the House of Representatives. So, excuse me, this last session of Congress should be a real good one. If you want to call me and join in on my Powerball conversation, the number's 347-945-6713, and I'd love to hear from you. I really would love to hear from you. It's a lot more fun to talk to somebody about something rather than just talk about what I want to talk about. You can call or you can come join me in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/normatnight. Just to keep everybody informed, we had another big week last year. In fact, we had 9 live callers last week, and that was really kind of interesting. And of course, I get the radio or the sound all screwed up. I hope you can hear me now. Guest 14398, if you can hear me, just give me a little tap in the chat room so I know that I am good. I'm a little sleepy because, God, I've been working hard at my new job, which isn't really so new anymore because it's in the, third month now, January, September, October, November. It's about ending. We go into the Christmas season. But what about the fiscal cliff? What do you all think should happen? I honestly believe the tax cuts should end for everyone, and the high-end rate should be raised even higher. Everybody's got to help the country get out of this one. Everybody. And what if we do go over the fiscal cliff? So what? So what? What's going to happen? Nobody will tell the honest truth about that. What will happen if we go over the fiscal cliff? Personally, I don't think anything will happen. It might be a little more austere around the United States, but I don't think that the sky is going to fall. If you disagree with me and care to explain it, I would like nothing better than to hear from you. 347-945-6713. We're to talk about the fiscal cliff. The other thing I'd like to talk about, although I didn't put anything out on the usual places, is Susan Rice and what she did. And I don't understand why the United Nations ambassador was making all those calls on those Sunday morning shows anyway. And what she had any business talking about if, as she says, she had no instructions from the president about what to say. Ambassadors don't usually talk about something that important without some kind of instructions from the president, particularly the United Nations ambassador, because everybody in the world's going to hear what she has to say. So what do you think about what Susan Rice did? Excuse me. There's no question Condoleezza Rice lied. Lied, and I don't make any apologies for that. They made her Secretary of State. There's little doubt in my mind that Colin Powell lied to the United Nations, and he knew he was lying. He stayed honest commander or secretary of state. There doesn't seem to be any need for truthfulness in the government. And it was once said to me in a diplomatic history class, the truth is a diplomat's greatest weapon, and you only get to tell a lie once, and then they don't believe you. Whether you knew it was a lie or not, I guess, I don't know. But should that woman, who the whole world now knows, did not tell the truth for whatever reason, whether she knew it was or didn't know it was, I promise you that she should have known whether or not what she was saying was the truth or not. But would you want that same person being Secretary of State? I think it's a legitimate question. I don't often agree with John McCain. And if the president, you know, he said, come after me. If he did tell her to lie, and she did lie, I think Joe Biden should become president of the United States real fast. Because if you can't believe the president when he gets up on the bully pulpit, then we have a problem. I mean, I voted for the guy. But if he told her to lie, if he told people to cover up the truth from her, you're darn right I'll go after him. And for all the good stuff he's done, and as much as I like the health care bill, as much as I like the Marriage Act bill, as much as I like what he's done for Social Security, as much as I like the fact that the Iraqi war is over, I gotta be able to believe the President of the United States. And if he told an official to lie or in any way prevented her from knowing what the real situation was, then I'm afraid he lied. Yes, all you Republicans out there, this is Norm at Night talking about Barack Obama in negative terms. It's hard for me, but the president's got to tell the truth. And if he didn't, he should resign. But anyway, what else are we going to talk about today? Well, it'd be a lot easier if one of you would call me at 347-945-6713. What would you do with the Powerball jackpot? Let's just say 300 and just round it off because they'll sell more tickets by then. $350 million. Holy cow. Oh, excuse me. I don't know what I would do with it. Maybe I'd start that school that I've always wanted to start. No, not a school, a learning center. Schools are obsolete. The first thing we have to, well, we have to get rid of classes and classrooms. People know stuff. People want to learn stuff. Somehow you put the people who want to learn something in contact with whoever knows something about it, and they share. Does the world happen that way? I don't know. Lots of people say it doesn't. But I guarantee you, in my world, that's how it works. And anybody that's worked with me, you might not like me, but I've lived my whole life really just trying to make sure that when I'm dead, they can write on my tombstone, he tried to be kind whenever he could. If we all would just go out into this world, oh, God, no, I'm getting preachy, and try to be kind, I guess that would be a good thing. The last 2 days have been a little tough. The last 2 days have been a little tough, I admit, at work. I need Christmas, I guess. I'm very tired. But anyway, stuff I got to do is stuff I got to do. I'm trying hard. So give me a call, 410-773-9941 is my Skype number, but you'll probably get a busy signal there. But if you call me at 347-945-6713, that's 347-945-6713, I'll let you in on the Norm at Night chat line, and I'll tell you there's been 76,000 listens to this program over the last year. And while that may not be hot stuff in terms of everybody else's statistics, I'm pretty damn proud of it. And we're going to get to that 100,000 listener mark, and then I'm going to reevaluate. I'll reevaluate the night, reevaluate the time. If you got something you want to say about that, you know the drill. Pick up the phone, 347-945-6713, or come on into the chat room. I got one guest there, 14398. We're glad to have you aboard. Hey, we got a call coming in. You're on with Norm. Go ahead.
Pick up the phone. I'm all alone. You remember, I don't know if they still have them anymore, those girls that would be on late night TV, they want you to call in for, I don't know, phone sex or something, I'm not sure. But they were funny. So, what you up to tonight?
Oh, well, one question is, what would you do with the $500 million Powerball if you won it?
Oh, that would be fun.
My wife bought me a ticket on the way home from work today.
Oh, good for you.
You know, I was stunned. They cost $2 now.
Oh, yeah? Oh, man. Yeah, it was always a buck. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many states it is. Well, that makes the jackpot bigger quicker. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, so what's new out on the West Coast?
Oh, well, let's see. We got our first big storm coming in. It'll be probably hitting tomorrow, and I don't know how long that's going to last, you know.
Yeah, a little snow last night. Not much, just a trace here and there.
Yeah,
we're here.
Yeah, they think we'll get up close to 3 inches of rain by the time it's over. And getting up in the foothills and that, they'll get a foot.
Of snow?
Rain. Now, when you get to the mountains, some of that'll be snow, some will be rain. And then when you get to the mountains, then they've already got snow, but that'll get the skiing season kicked off, you know. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not all that worried about it, you know. Because water levels are very low right now, so they do, you know, there have been some flood warnings here and there. Because some of the creeks, you know, mostly the creeks are kind of low too, but you never know. One of them gets plugged up and then it spills over, and, you know.
Yeah, well, we do. We got a lot of Christmas work done around here over the weekend. Got the lights on the house, got the got the tree up.
Yeah, I barely started, so. And then now with the rain, of course, I'm not going to do anything till the rain stops, so.
Well, no.
You know.
So what's new on the political horizon?
Oh, I don't know. I'm already getting tired of talking about the cliff. Or I should say hearing about the cliff.
That was going to be one of the topics tonight.
Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, it's like today, you know, I'm watching the market go. Pardon me, I've got a cold brewing. And Harry Reid gets on and says he's disappointed because he doesn't see any progress in the, you know, negotiations.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the market takes a hit immediately, you know. I don't know why I should be concerned with him, but, you know.
Well, I don't know how Mitch McConnell could even go on TV and congratulate the president.
Yeah, it's mostly between Obama and Boehner, and that's it. You know, whatever they agree to. Who's the guy? I probably don't have his name. Republican. I think his name was Corker, something like that.
I don't know.
I have to look it up. But anyway. You know, some of the things that are on the table, you know, now they want everything on the table.
Uh-huh.
Obamacare and Medicaid and Social Security.
Yeah, Paul, no, that was the guy from Virginia. What's his name? He's the majority leader.
Hang on. I'll have it.
What's his name? He's the budget guy.
He's from Tennessee. Bob Corker.
That's a different guy.
Yeah,
and
well, this is the
guy
I'm talking about anyway.
You know, the guy from Virginia, he's the one who wanted Obama to put Obamacare on the table.
Yeah, there were some elements of it that they thought they could cut on. But Corker, he was more interested in limits on tax deductions. So he was talking about a limit on mortgage interest, a limit on charitable deductions, and what else was there? There was another limit or anyway. But these would all be at the high end. And they were talking in the range of $28,000 to $50,000 would be a cap. So no matter what you made and what you donate, you only get so much.
Well, I've never even had close to $50,000 of deductions.
Yeah, well, you know, but again, this is it's not a tax, but it's at the high end of the income bracket. It's going to affect them, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, any way you collect revenue, whether it's increasing taxes or eliminating deductions, there you are, right? Now, I don't see anyone talking about, you know, subsidies, particularly agriculture and, you know, a few other. Agriculture is the big one. But it's tough to do that one. That is, you know, you've got that Midwest section that just, and the South too. And those states make a lot of money off those subsidies. So what can you
know? So what do we do? Let the price of bread go to $5 a loaf?
Well, see, the subsidies are supposed to prevent that. Yeah. You know, out here, the only real inflation I've seen is meat. But again, that's related to grain prices, and grain prices are very high. So,
well, that's because we're feeding them to our cows.
Yeah, well, of course, 40% of that corn is going for ethanol. So guess what? You're paying $700-some for a carload of corn. That's a lot of money.
And subsidies to the corn growers.
Yeah, well, the corn growers, they do really good because...
Now, wait a minute. Wait. This is an important question.
What's that?
Is it a subsidy or is it a support?
Well, some of it is crop insurance. Depends. Now, if you were in a drought area...
Wait, the government pays crop insurance?
Yes, they do. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. You know, see, some products, you know, get outright subsidies. And other ones, they get subsidized in the form of crop insurance. So if your crop fails, the government takes care of that for you. In the case, corn is, of course, the most lucrative because, one, if you're growing corn, first you've got, you know, of course, the insurance for your crop. And if you're growing corn for ethanol, which is 40% of all the corn produced, you've got numerous subsidies there. You not only get the corn subsidies, but you have a mandated market, so everyone has to buy your product, you know. And
yeah, just keep talking. I'll be back. I can hear you.
Oh, okay, very good.
I just got to get my coffee.
And the other interesting part is that there's absolutely no competition because we banned the import of ethanol from other countries, such as Brazil, which has a surplus of it. So, you know, you've got three factors. There's no other crop ever in the history of the country that has ever had this situation where they absolutely can't lose and the money just rolls in, you know.
All right.
So, yeah, that's why I'm so down on ethanol. I really, you know, I want it gone. I want the whole freaking thing gone. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's a scam. It's a total, you know, we're just getting ripped off. That's all there is to it. It does squat.
Well,
it does nothing for air quality.
Ethanol production tomorrow, would you be good to be holding corn futures or would you be bad to be holding corn?
Well, the question is, do we think anything is going to change? And I don't see that changing. You know, like I say, the lobby for agriculture, particularly corn and the other grains, is very, very strong. And most of their strength is in the Senate.
Well, yeah, that makes sense because those all the states have equal voice in the Senate.
Yeah, right.
So if you got, you know, a million people, you still got two senators.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're New York with 20 million people, you got two senators.
Exactly. And with 36 million here, we have two senators. So, yeah, we've talked about that before. I mean, you know, it wasn't it wasn't such a problem in the early days of the country. And probably, I don't think it really happened until after the Civil War where we started to see where, maybe even earlier than that, you know, because the South was agricultural. That was their business.
But the South was agribusiness. They weren't growing food.
Yeah, well, they grew,
they grew cotton.
Cotton, tobacco.
They grew tobacco.
So, yeah, I mean, you grow what makes money. You know, it has nothing to do with feeding a country.
Well, in the Midwest, they grew wheat, they grew corn.
Oh, of course. Great to, you know, but see that now it's not as diverse as it was. You know, everybody's growing corn because of this artificial situation. Which the government created.
I mean, the fact is, without all these subsidies and stuff, we couldn't feed the world anymore.
Well, who says we feed? I mean, we are a major food producer, but...
No, we are the food producer in the world.
Major exporter. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. You know, can we continue to do what we're doing with food crops? Using them for fuel, and they cost 29% more on average than they're worth. And the only reason they're sold is by mandate. You understand, this is where, when you want to defend the free market, this is where you look. You look at this goddamn thing. And it's horrible. And we pay for it. Now, here's another one. This won't mean much to you, but it means something to me in California. We have, our cap and trade system, which is effective on the first of the year. Actually, it's already in effect. They've just started selling the credits, I think about 2 weeks ago. So it affects all of the major industries in terms of what type of air pollution or contaminants they put in the atmosphere, all that. So now the first thing that's come out, we have a local cement factory, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're raising all their prices because that's the cost of the credits they have to buy. And it's a significant, it's like a 25% increase. I mean, I'm just amazed. And you got to think the ripple down effect. What's going to happen all across the board? We haven't heard about the refineries yet. That's going to really be enormous. So suppose we get a similar jump in the cost of gasoline. I mean, 20-25%.
Boom. I think you're just an oil man.
Well, I'm a cheap energy guy, I'll say that. But the thing is that, this is a state which will not allow local production, drilling, new refineries, no nuclear plants. They won't even approve a natural gas generator.
We're already the biggest exporter in the world.
But we import an enormous amount of electricity and natural gas now because they won't let people produce it here. It's the not in my backyard syndrome.
We do not import electricity.
I said California imports electricity.
You don't import things from other states of the Union.
We certainly do.
You don't import it.
Well, what would you call it?
You buy it.
Let's look at it this way. We have the capacity to produce our own, but we won't do it because we don't want to, put all that CO2 in our air. So now we're bringing it out of Washington and Oregon. We've got more of it coming from Wyoming.
But until we improve storage technology, it would just disappear.
Look, they turned down natural gas-fired generators in Silicon Valley. You know why? Aesthetics. They just didn't think that would blend in with the landscape. I'm not kidding. And all the energy they gobble up in Silicon Valley. But they don't want the plant there. And as for natural gas, now we import natural gas, too. This does come from other countries. Can you imagine that?
No.
We have the biggest oil and natural gas field in the country.
In the world.
No, in the country. The Monterey Bay Basin, or not Monterey Bay, but the Monterey Basin, it covers about a third of the state, virtually untapped. Now, we were going to have a liquid natural gas port or terminal. It was going to be located in Santa Barbara. And everybody said, oh, no, it's too dangerous. We can't have it there. Everyone said, fine. They built it in Mexico. And now there's gas lines running from Mexico to Los Angeles.
Well, the biggest deposits of natural gas in the country are under the Great Lakes.
Well, no, I've read them. Under the Great Lakes, you're saying?
Yes.
The biggest fields there are the Utica.
Hey, Mr. Blondie, how are you? Welcome.
But anyway, yeah, no, I'm not aware of that at all. And I'm pretty much up on everything that goes on.
Well, I would think, especially being from Buffalo, the big issue about whether or not whether or not they can crack under Lake Erie, because what happens is...
Yeah, well...
I mean, you're talking... you're talking the fresh water for the country disappearing.
Well, yeah. Well, in California, we're talking about the San Joaquin Valley, too, which is where 50% of all the food consumed in the United States is produced.
I always remember. I saw a video once about how they get a tomato from the fields in California to a vendor in New York City by train.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite. And there's another thing that's going on here now. we've had a worker shortage. People to pick fruit and vegetables.
Yeah.
For the last few years. I mean, 20-25% shortage. They don't have the people to pick these crops.
Well, so they're practically slaves.
They make between $10 and $13 an hour. I mean, you may call that slavery, but a lot of people would say that's not bad money for low skill labor, you know.
Well, I don't know. I got a guy in the chat room says Canada's going to be the natural resource power of the future.
They've got a lot of resources, actually. They've been supplying us with cheap gas and oil for a long time. Of course, now they're selling to China and India. Chinese
have
been
invested. We'll just have to invade them.
What's that?
We'll just have to invade them.
Oh, come on now. You know, Chinese, actually, Canadians are, you know, rather skeptical because the Chinese have bought a lot of property and oil and gold and you name it, but they are just devouring Canadian resources. I mean, they know. I mean, they know what their population is going to be 10, 20 years out.
Wait a minute. I got a guy on my chat room talking about extracting the tar sands oil.
Fracking
wells is a lot more efficient than that.
Yeah, the...
I finally figured out how fracking works.
Uh-huh.
The term comes from fracturing the shale.
Yeah, right.
You pump water in it until it simply cracks and opens up, and the stuff comes out.
Yeah, you can do it with water. You can do it with steam. You can do it with CO2. There's a lot of ways to do it, you know.
Well,
anything
water,
that creates pressure.
Under Lake Erie.
Well, I'm not aware of anyone doing fracking underwater. That's why I sort of
question. Well, the wells are under the lake.
Well,
it isn't very deep.
Okay, so we're talking about near. I mean, we are talking New York. We're talking Ohio. Because the largest
New York, Ohio, yeah.
Yeah,
and half of it's on the Canadian side, and now they're arguing about where the border actually is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not. I'll have to look into that because
somebody in my chat room. the United States has the greatest amount of shale gas in the world.
Yeah, that could well be, you know.
You know, and it's all just sitting on there waiting to pump up poison Lake Erie with a leak.
Well, that's why I told you. I mean, you know, the stuff that's sitting here in California is almost completely untouched. There's a little bit down in the Los Angeles Basin, and there's a little bit, you know, further towards the coast. And even north of here, there are, you know, some gas wells.
Okay,
and they,
I don't care how much oil and natural gas we have. Renewable energy is better for us in the long run, no matter how much we have.
Yeah, well, it requires enormous government subsidy, and it puts a great burden on the users. Now,
I'm not. I'm not buying into that.
Hey, do you know how many windmills or these wind towers, whatever you want to call them,
those bird killer machines?
How many of them do you think are abandoned and rotting in the field
How many? I don't know how many are rotting and abandoned in the fields in California.
There are 14,000 abandoned wind towers in this country because they're unfeasible, even with the government subsidy.
They are popping up like mushrooms after a rainstorm all around Buffalo.
Wind towers?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess all the birds will die.
There's now 7 in the harbor alone. There used to be 3. They're migrating out into the lake.
Oh, you got to read about.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to read this from a guy in the chat room. He writes, "Here's my thing, and it's probably the most conservative thing that I would say. But my thought is that we suck as much energy from other countries like Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Venezuela, etc. In the meantime, we build up our renewable energy technology."
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Blondie, I agree with that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Every gallon of oil we buy from the Saudi, or every barrel of oil we buy from the Saudis is one less that the Chinese can buy.
Oh, okay.
Just keep lending us the money to buy your oil supply.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have sort of an exclusive market. You know what it's called?
Mm-mm.
Iran. Iran will supply them for the next century if we keep our current relations the way they are. And, of course, they're also getting a lot of gas and oil from Russia. Those pipelines just keep pumping.
The Russians turn it off all the time. Is it's not a reliable supply.
It does all right. I mean, they get what they get, you know. But Iran is the cheapest source for them. They're buying below market.
Disagreement here. According to some people in the chat room, Iran is done.
Iran has enormous fields that nobody will touch because of the political situation. If you solve that, then everything's good. Now you can look at Iraq and say the same thing. Iraq is only maybe 20% exploited. And you think American companies want to do business there? ExxonMobil just pulled out. Too much risk.
Well, the Europeans are sure way ahead of us in renewables.
Yeah, but you know what? All that technology the Germans and the Spanish won. Well, the Spanish, that's part of their problem. It damn near broke them to buy all that crap. But here's the deal as far as solar energy goes. Now, we know how expensive the solar panels are and all that. Well, guess what? There's two types of panels. One is made with abundant resources, and one is made with rare resources. And the company that solved that problem, very surprisingly, IBM. And they're producing solar panels. I think it's called CITZ. I haven't read the article in a while. But
well,
essentially,
in my view, everybody should be putting all of their research and money into electrical power storage.
Oh, battery. Well, that battery thing, you know, there's enough people working on that. You know,
I don't think he could have too many people working on that.
Yeah. Now, you're aware that 40% of all the electricity generated in the country never gets used. I don't know where it goes. I guess it just, you know, grounded in the earth or whatever.
Wait a minute, Blondie, what do you mean you're not sure that that it shouldn't be in storage?
Yeah.
The environmental cost of batteries and electrical storage might outweigh that.
Exactly.
Yeah, where we are right now, which is why we have to explore it.
Oh, Norm, electricity is not like oil. You can't just put it underground and let it sit there. It doesn't work like that.
The way what we
electricity,
know now, what we know now, that is true. That's why we have a stupid grid.
Well, yeah, we have the grid, and the grid wastes tons. 40% is the figure I heard.
Because they can't store it.
Well, but even if you could store it, let's say I save that 40%, right? Well, what happens the following year?
No, then you cut down production.
Well, yeah, that's the idea. As Blondie says, the smart grid is absolutely necessary. And that's a grid that will does a better job of directing the power where it's needed. See,
right,
at present,
the stuff
just goes off dead ends and then it's gone, you know.
There is another problem with that.
What's the problem?
As soon as your grid goes smart, it also becomes very susceptible to cyber attack.
Well, it's susceptible now.
Not when it's dumb.
Well, you get the smart part. You know, everything, look, there's a certain amount of security risk in just about everything we do, you know, electronically, which is nearly everything we do.
Oh, wait, Blondie's making fun of me here.
Yeah,
again.
He is. You know.
No. The smart grid, because it has to have many more entry and exit points in order to be smart, is much more susceptible. I'm not saying that the dumb grid is insusceptible. I don't know if that's the right word.
Mm. Impervious.
Impervious. Okay, we'll use that. But the fact is, when your grid goes smart, there are way many more vulnerability points in it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, he does mention.
I think it would be. You know what? I'm sorry. It can't be a closed network.
I don't know.
You can't build a whole nother internet. Well, I suppose you could. Wait a minute. Yeah, they're using it to measure power, not to direct power.
Right. Yeah, and see, there's more to that. I mean, because you're going to need switchers, you're going to have to redirect power, and you're probably... It'll require significantly more wiring.
And even if you can redirect power, if you can't store the redirections, lots of it's just going right to ground.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. If you are able to redirect, then power generation should decline. We should save money in that respect. We hope.
Because right now, power is produced on a linear scale. You produce what you produce, and then that's distributed around the country, whether it needs it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I had that situation back then.
I don't believe that. Maybe not in my lifetime, Blondie, because, you know, I got 20 left on the outside 30. But probably in yours. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I don't really know how old Blondie is. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm speaking a little early.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're in the last 9 minutes, guys. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, let me think. Uh-oh, he says too old, Norm.
Oh, man, they're making fun of the Normster. All right.
Meritocracy.
Somehow, you know, I think I'm the only guy at work who hasn't missed a day yet.
Oh. Hmm.
And what's a fallacy? Oh, meritocracy's a fallacy. You're damn right it is.
Yeah, it's a, you know, sort of a dream. I mean, you know.
Well, it's really interesting.
Many of us would like to advance in life according to our merits, but it doesn't work like that.
It roughly works like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've
watched people.
The guy from Uppers,
mm-hmm.
Chris, he wrote that book about the failure of the American meritocracy.
Sounds like something Christopher. Oh, your
He's
buddy from MSNBC? Hedges?
Huh? Hedges? Yeah, MSNBC.
Mm.
Chris.
Hedges.
Up with Chris.
Oh, Hayes. Oh, right.
Chris,
I don't
Hayes.
Know. I don't
That's
know.
Right. Thank you.
If I'm lucky, I see him on a Sunday morning.
Hey,
you know?
Thank you there, Blondie, for Twilight of the Elites.
Oh,
they
that thing, yeah,
book.
Yeah.
I actually have a signed copy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of, I was kind of proud about that. And he recognized me from all the tweets I've sent to the show.
Oh, really?
Yes, I got a pick out of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he seems, I mean, I watch him, you know, occasionally on Sunday morning or whenever. He seems to be an incredibly bright guy. But I haven't read the book.
You know, I've just had a great time with him, and I used to like the woman who comes on after him.
Oh,
Melissa Harris Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
But
she's pretty good,
she's
too.
She's really, really starting to annoy me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I have to take these liberals.
Although,
you know, I mean, I listen to them and that.
Oh, how can you not like Rachel Maddow?
I love Rachel Maddow. I think she's the best one on MSNBC. Got
I
a
don't
sense of humor, and she's bright, and she's not like, what's his name, O'Donnell, who has like a permanent stick up his ass, you know.
How can you not go for Warren O'Donnell?
He's got a mean streak in him that just, he can't control it.
You don't think Rachel Maddow does?
No. She's always happy and snarky and, you know. I don't mind her at all. All
Chris
the rest
Matthews,
of them.
Chris Matthews making a comeback with me.
What's that?
Chris Matthews is
oh,
making
a yeah, comeback yeah.
with
me. Yeah, I remember, what was her name? Remember, Ann Cutler once said that he reminded her of a lesbian gym teacher. Which I thought, yeah, it's sexist, blah, 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 but I still thought it was rather appropriate.
But
whatever.
Chris Matthews, he's in love with Barack, and he's also in love with Jack Kennedy, and he's not
Yeah, he does that time warp thing between the two of them.
You know, he does.
I know.
But I taught both his sons, you know. I've had, they drink the expensive booze over at his house.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. The thing with Matthews...
They had this ethnic band at the second son's graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And I got invited, and they started playing a tarantella. I went in the kitchen and got the Italian cook and brought her out and danced with her.
Oh, cool.
Boy, that was a hit. Mm-hmm. The ethnic, look at him go.
Yeah. Yes, well.
Rachel Maddow, Blondie's really kind of... I hated her for the longest time.
No, she likes to party, and she's, you know, and she's very bright. I think when she does have people on that you know, are the opposition, you know, she treats them much better than the other guys do, you know.
How can you not like MSNBC, Blondie? Come on now, that's work. NBC's a place for politics. I never miss. Oh, it's not anywhere near as bad as Fox. The people on Fox, they don't know anything.
Well,
not
I
just
think
prejudice.
Yeah,
I can understand bias.
Well, I think the people on Fox pretend to be a news station. Whereas on MSNBC, they gave that up a long time ago. It never was.
No.
I mean, that's not news. It's just,
you know. They're talking about yellow journalism since they sunk the main.
Yeah. But it's not journalism. It's opinion. It's all, you know. Now, Fox, you know, they'll have some news during the day, opinionated as it is.
But then
from 6 o'clock on, it's nothing but opinion. It's straight on through, you know. Now, what I really find annoying about Fox is their business news.
MSNBC does not have straight news shows.
No, of course not. So it's
I get up every day at 5 o'clock so I can watch Morning Joe.
Yeah. Now, Morning Joe, that's enjoyable. I'm not up that early, though, you know.
Well, it starts at 6.
And it starts at 3 over here.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I remember they were out on the coast doing some shows live, and that was mm-hmm. always fun. It was still 6 here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, all the major network morning shows, I'll agree with you, Blondie. They're like puke.
Yeah.
But MSNBC is, you know, to be honest, we watch the Fox local news here. My wife likes it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really watch the news too often, but when I do, their local news isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's the commentary. Come on. Bill O'Reilly? Please.
Mm. Well, there are alternatives. I mean, you've got Bloomberg. I think Bloomberg is very good.
Well, I've watched Bloomberg from time to time.
You've got BBC for your international.
I do like that Fox show on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, but I just won't turn Chris Hayes off for us.
Oh, okay. Well,
I cannot stand that Gregory guy on Meet the Press.
Oh, yeah, yeah. David
Gregory. I can't stand him.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I can't remember the last time I watched Meet the Press, which is why I lost Ambassador Rice's. But anyway, we're down to the last. My wife thinks he's a whore. Who's a whore? Wait. I lost track of the Come on, I got 20 seconds left. Let's get the name out.
So Greg is a whore? David Gregory.
David Gregory.
I don't know.
Anyway, we're done.
Does he have red lips and a pain in the face?
This is Norman Knight signing off. Hey, thanks for the calls, guys. Thanks for all the activity in the...
that kind of horror. Okay.
Thanks for all the activity in the chat room. But we're out of here.
Thanks. Okay, dude.
See you next week. It was a good show.
Okay, take care.
I enjoyed the conversation. Norman Knight going to bed. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye, Robbie.